Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there today, open it up to John chapter 16, and we're going to start in verse 13. And again, just as a recap of the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and how Jesus instructed the apostles, the nature and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so he has instructed them in the chapters of John 14, 15, and 16. And here in 16, verse 13, he says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth in all things, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine, and he will declare it to you." And so Jesus was telling the apostles that what had been promised to them by the Father, the Holy Spirit, it was coming, and it would be coming soon. Of course, they didn't know exactly when it was coming. They didn't know exactly what the nature of the Holy Spirit would be. They didn't understand how the Holy Spirit would work in their life, but they received his instruction. They were patient. They waited. They prayed, and they asked the Lord to bless them with the Spirit, and sure enough, the Lord did. And so Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth in all things." And so we know that when we rely on the truth of the Holy Spirit, we know that when we ask the Lord for instruction from the Holy Spirit, when we ask the Lord for counsel from the Holy Spirit, that we're going to get from the Father and from Jesus Christ the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit takes from what is Jesus, he takes from what is the Father's, and so there's complete unity, and the Holy Spirit will give you what is in the heart of Father God. The Holy Spirit will give you what is in the heart of Jesus Christ. And so you know when you are asking the Lord as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know you're going to be receiving from the Father through the Holy Spirit the truth in all things. And so in every situation in your life, beloved, every situation, you can ask the Father to reveal the truth to you. You can ask the Father about relationships. You can ask the Father about provision and finances. You can ask the Father about healing and your destiny and your ministry, all these things. Every question you have in your life, every aspect of your life that you have questions about, should you go forward here, should you go forward there, should you relate to this person, should you step away from this person, all these things that may be questions in your life, if you ask the Father, the Holy Spirit then will relay to you through the Father, to the Holy Spirit, to you the truth in every situation. Well, in Acts, the first chapter, if you have your Bible there, turn it over to Acts chapter 1. This is where it starts to get really exciting. This is where the Holy Spirit is poured out. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, beloved, I pray that you ask the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit. And you can ask in faith. Everything in the Christian walk is obtained by faith. And you can ask in faith and know that God has a perfect plan for you, that God cares about every detail of your life, that God cares about every burden in your life, and he wants you to have the Holy Spirit and fire. God is not a miser. He is not stingy. He's not running short of his blessings and his perfect gifts. He has every perfect gift for you. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. In him there is no change or shifting shadow. And so when you ask in faith and you believe in faith that God has the great and perfect gifts for you, beloved, he will pour them out for you. He will pour them out on your life because he wants you to have them. And he wants the kingdom to come to this earth, that it would be as it is on this earth, as it has already been declared in heaven. And so he speaks to the disciples through his son Jesus Christ, and in Acts the first chapter, starting in verse 4. It tells about a situation, and this is after the resurrection. This is after Jesus has gone to the cross. He's been resurrected. He's now walked among men for 40 days after the resurrection. And he is talking to the apostles here in Jerusalem. And in verse 4, he says, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so some people say, well, there is no baptism of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, beloved, how can you read that chapter and that verse and not come up with the idea that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit? For Jesus himself said, "For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so Jesus prophesied, he predicted that the Holy Spirit baptism was coming, and it came just as he prophesied, and all it means is that you are fully immersed. You are fully immersed in receiving the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, of the God that we serve. And so when you are fully immersed with the Holy Spirit, you have all of the Holy Spirit that God desires for you to have. You have all of the access, all of the blessing, all of the counsel, all of the advocacy, all of the truth that the Holy Spirit can give you in relaying what the Father has for you and in relaying what Jesus Christ has for you. That is the full immersion, and it comes with fire, and it comes with power, and it comes with a certain knowledge, a confidence that you are walking in the Spirit, that you are walking with the fire and the presence of God in your holy temple all time. And this is the blessing that we have as a believer, that we can walk on this earth, that we can go anywhere to the remotest parts of the earth, that we can go there and know that no matter who we're with, no matter what place we're in, no matter what country, village, town, city, or whatever, that if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is with you, and he will give you the counsel, and he will give you the instruction to take care of whatever situation is in your life, and he will do it in such a way that you have the blessing and the confidence of knowing you're doing it in the will of Almighty God. Well, when Jesus spoke that in Acts 1:5, when he said that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, that also was a fulfillment of Scripture that John the Baptist spoke back in Matthew 3:11, when the Pharisees were coming out to John the Baptist to be baptized in the Jordan River, and John said, "There is one coming after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And John also spoke that he was baptizing with water for repentance, which is what he was doing. When the people were coming out to him, he would say, "Bring forth fruit according to repentance." And so he was asking people to repent and confess their sins, and then he was baptizing them in water in the Jordan River. But he said, "There's one coming after me who's greater than me. I must be less, and he must be more. He must be greater, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so this is a fulfillment of prophecy that John the Baptist had spoken 3.5 years prior. And so as we proceed here in the book of Acts, this is how it all unfolded. Acts 1:6, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" You see, the apostles were still looking for Jesus to restore the physical kingdom of Israel. They wanted to throw off the yoke of the Roman government. They wanted to throw off the oppressive yoke of the Romans. And so the apostles were looking for a physical kingdom to restore the kingdom of Israel. And Jesus said to them, in answer to their question, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the remotest parts of the earth," or to the end of the earth. And so the key here that Jesus said is that you don't have to worry about all the things that the Father has planned. You don't have to worry about the timing. It's not for you to know the timing of the seasons, the times, the epochs that the Father has laid out. But he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so Jesus said, just be patient and wait. Wait here as I have instructed you. Be patient, stay in prayer. And so many times this is instruction for us as well. We just need to stay in prayer. We need to wait on whatever the Father has promised us. We need to wait on the plan that the Father has promised for us. And when you wait in expectation, when you wait in anticipation, and you spend time in prayer, you spend time in fasting, you spend time in seeking the Lord's face with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, then the Holy Spirit will pour out on you the power. That is the dunamis, the dynamite, the Greek word dunamis, which means for us dynamite or explosion. Great power that comes when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And beloved, if you have it, you know it. If you don't, you can seek it. You can cry out for it. You can worship the Lord and ask him in faith. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened for you. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above. In him there is no change or shifting shadow. When you ask in faith and you believe in faith, everything in the Christian faith is obtained by asking and by faith. And so when you ask in faith, God is good to give you what you're asking for. And if you do not, again, if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want it, you keep asking, you keep believing in faith that you're going to receive it. And eventually, beloved, you will receive it. Get your life right with the Lord. Come into agreement with the plan God has for you, and you will eventually receive it. You will know it because God will pour it out on you, and you will have power. You're going to want to preach. You're going to want to prophesy. You're going to want to share your life with those who have needs. You're going to want to share your resources with those who have needs. And when you have that baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have fire in your life that you never had before. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, wild horses couldn't keep me from preaching. I wanted to go preach. I wanted to share the gospel. And God started to open up doors for me to preach, first in the prisons and then in churches and revivals. And eventually he took me to the remotest parts of the earth, to the ends of the earth, to the nations. And he will do the same for you. God is no respecter of persons. And he wants you to have that power. He wants you to walk in that power. He wants you to have a power-filled life. And so as you move forward in your life, and if you want more power in your Christian walk, if you feel like you have a lukewarm walk and you just need more power, you ask the Lord and he will be good to give it to you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door shall be opened for them. For what father, if his son asks him for a loaf of bread, would he give him a stone? No, he would not. And what father, if his son asks him for a fish, would he give him a serpent or a scorpion? No, he would not. And so our earthly fathers, being wicked, if they know how to give us good and perfect gifts, so much more so does our Heavenly Father know how to bless us with good and perfect gifts. And so if you ask in faith, believing that God has the greatest in mind for you, the greatest blessings in mind for you, you're going to receive what God has for you. That is His will. You're going to receive those good and perfect gifts. Well, back to Verse 8, it says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And so as you receive that power, first you're going to be the witness in your local community, maybe just to your family, maybe in your local church. You're going to be busy in your local church, starting to be a witness. You're no longer going to be satisfied to just be a bench warmer or a seat warmer. You're going to want to get involved. You want to get active in the local church or into your community. Start a radio broadcast. Start preaching to your neighbors. Start preaching to people on your job site. And this may, in America, this may get you in trouble a little bit in places, but, you know, be cautious and be prudent. Use wisdom. Don't just cast your pearls before swine, but be prudent about how you share and who you share with. But you're going to want to share. You're going to want to preach. You're going to want to prophesy. You're going to want to evangelize. And so this is just natural for a Spirit-filled person. This is natural for those that have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then eventually, after being a witness in Jerusalem, you go on to Judea and Samaria. That is to places farther away from your home. Maybe God will send you on a short-term mission trip, or God will send you to another town to speak or to bless those in another village or another city. And then eventually, for those who have received the call to go to the nations, God will send you and He will provide for you to go to the nations. And you can be an apostle. You can have that apostolic calling, which is the calling of the sent one. And you can go to other nations and you can preach the gospel. You can prophesy. You can evangelize. You can be a missionary. Beloved, there's some of you out there listening today who have that call. God is speaking to you through my voice or through some other way that He wants you to be a missionary. He wants you to have that apostolic calling and go to the nations. And if He is speaking to you, beloved, I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to not let fear hold you back. To move forward in whatever God is calling to you, and as you go to the nations, beloved, you will have the blessing of the Lord, you will have the anointing of that apostolic calling, and as you do that, you will be blessed in ways and fulfilled in ways beyond anything that you can ever imagine. You will be blessed and you will be filled, and you will be content with your life. Your joy will be complete as you go to the nations, as God has blessed me to go to many nations around the earth and given me the provision to do it, the power to speak when I get there, the power to give a good message when I get there. And it has blessed me. It has blessed other people. I've seen things that other people on this earth have not been blessed to see. I've seen many, many people come into the kingdom through the ministry. I've seen many people be healed and miraculous things happen, even to see people raised from the dead. And so God is no respecter of persons. Whatever He has done for me or any other preacher, anybody else on this earth who shares the gospel, He will also do it for you. And He will bless you and provide for you to go to the remotest parts of the earth, the end of the earth. And when you get there, you're going to find lost people. When you get there, you're going to find people that don't know about Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. When you get there, you're going to find people who need healing. You're going to find people who are broken and full of despair and discouragement and disappointment. When you get there, the message of the gospel will be the right message for them. When you get there, the message of the gospel will not come back to you void. For God says, wherever He sends His word, wherever He blesses people with His word, it shall not come back to Him void. And so you don't have to worry about whether or not you're strong enough or you're powerful enough or if you're eloquent enough or you have that speech, that eloquence of speech to speak just the right word at the right time. The Holy Spirit of God will give you the right words to speak at the right time, and the word of God shall not return to him void, but it shall accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Now, when Jesus had spoken these things, verse 9, while the disciples watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And so the men in white apparel were two angels that were standing there, and they said, Jesus is going to come back just as he left right now. He was taken up in a cloud. Why do you stand here gazing? Jesus is going to come back just as you saw him go. So we go on over to the second chapter of Acts, and this is when the Spirit has poured out. The disciples have been obedient, and there was about 120 of them gathered together to pray, to fast at the time of the Feast of Pentecost. And they were there to pray and to fast, and they were being patient. They were being obedient to what the Lord had instructed them. And it says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That is to say, they all had one mind, one purpose, one heart for being there. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we can learn several things from this passage. One is that they were obedient in prayer and in fasting, and obedient in waiting for what the Father had promised them. And then as they were in one accord, they were of one mind, they were of one purpose, they were of one place, their bodies and their souls and their spirits were all in unison. And it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Well, the wind, Jesus said back in the third chapter of John that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. John 3:8, he said in instructing Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so he said the Holy Spirit is like the wind. It comes and it goes, and you don't know who it's going to touch. You don't know how hard it's going to touch someone. And that's the way the Holy Spirit came in the second chapter of Acts, as they were waiting, and as they were waiting, the house was filled with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And then there was tongues of fire that settled on their heads, tongues of fire. And God, many times through Scripture, appeared as fire. In Exodus 13:21, the Lord went before the Israelites out in the wilderness. He went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. And God appeared before Moses as a burning bush, as fire. Deuteronomy 4:24 says, our God is a jealous God. He is a consuming fire. And so the tongues of fire settled on the heads of each one of those waiting at Pentecost. And God has a tongue of fire for you. He wants to impart fire into your life, to give you that fire, that passion, that desire to go forth with the gospel and to share the good news. And the apostles were touched with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, we're going to take this up next week about what happened after they started to speak with other tongues, about how they started to give the message of the gospel to people there at Pentecost. And so that is where we're going to take up next week and continue to look at this aspect of the Holy Spirit, how it was poured out, and it gave these cowardly, broken men, these scattered men, it gave them power to share the gospel and to transform the world as they knew it in that day. Well, Gather the Outcast has some great projects going. We invite you to partner with this ministry. We're building an orphanage over in Africa, in Kenya. We'd like for you to come alongside this ministry and help support this ministry so we can get this orphanage built for 50 children. And we also have crusades lined up and planned in Burundi and in the Democratic Republic of Congo and in Kenya, beginning in July through October. And so we invite you to partner with this ministry for those crusades. If you have any questions, listen for the contact information coming up. We've got a great book offer as well that we're going to send you a book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa. We'll put that book into your hands for a donation of any amount. So stay tuned for that contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.